ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the War Room is on. We got a lot to cover this hour before we welcome Joel Webbin into the third hour. But I want to do something here to, again, highlight, illustrate, attempt to make sense of the delusion of the left. I know, it's you don't want to hear it, but I got an example here that I think is very potent. Let's go to clip 30. This is a very popular content creator on X going around UCLA, one of the top colleges in the country, asking their, you know, the studious academics who live and work there what they think about slavery. Let's watch.
Approximately when did slavery start?
Oh, a long time ago. I would say like 1200, 1300 around.
What civilization first started it? Like what people first started it?
I think it was a European country.
When did slavery start?
Around 1700.
Okay. So right, 1700, oh, and where did it start?
Let's pause it. What type of answer is that? 1700? Do you understand what's happening here? All right, first of all, it doesn't even make sense because the whole indoctrination thing was called the 1619 Project. So he's late for the propaganda anyway. 1700. Now, if you really asked him a follow-up question, I doubt he truly believes it's 1700. By which I mean, if you said to him, you don't think the ancient Romans had slaves? He'd probably say, no, of course the ancient Roman had slaves. Or not, you know, maybe UCLA is worse than I thought, but I would expect the average person in UCLA would at least know that Rome had slaves, right? And they would probably know that Rome existed before 1700. But in his mind, that wasn't slavery. See, there's like slavery, the concept that, sure, that's been around forever. But then there's slavery TM, right? There's slavery, which it started in the 1700s, was created by Europeans. They kidnapped African people. They got this brilliant idea all of a sudden to try to take people from their homes and work them. And they came up with this, and it lasted for like a couple centuries. And then probably some sort of big-hearted person of color came along and taught us all how wrong it was. And we fought, but they freed themselves. Like, that's what they believe. It's insane. It is genuinely and utterly and completely insane. Let's go back to the video.
Like in California.
Chattel slavery?
Yeah, chattel slavery.
Yeah, I think the 1600s.
What was the first civilization to start practicing chattel slavery?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I guess the United States?
I'm at UCLA to ask students about their knowledge of the history of slavery. And the reason I'm doing this is because I have a hypothesis that people have a very selective understanding of the history of slavery and the West's role in it. So approximately when did slavery start?
I feel like it started ever since people came to be. People have always wanted to separate other people from power and domination. I feel like that has been like here since forever.
So, yeah. Should I tell her she's right? You're so right. I'm very impressed. Yes, that it goes back at least as early as 9000 BC. When the European settlers went to Africa and they captured slaves, how did they do that?
Probably forceful, brought them over on boats back to the North American continent and the European continent.
I don't like the specifics, but I assume violently. That's my only thing.
Like an institution was already somewhat present there, and then they just kind of took over that as an institution, being the dominant power, being that they had, like, you know, guns and whatnot.
That's a good, I never thought about that. That's, I don't know. I mean, I would say it was by force.
I think they were already caught and sold by other people in Africa.
You're correct. Europeans actually couldn't really survive in Africa because it was a completely different environment. Malaria, all this stuff would kill
them. Fascinating. It reminds me of the Bobby Lee clip. I wonder if we could find that where he's like, you know, Koreans didn't have slavery like you Europeans. And then they look it up and the Wikipedia entry is like, Korea has the longest running history of slavery in the entire world. And it's not that these people are just wrong. They have been deliberately misinformed. People have lied to them on purpose to make them think this because they want to demonize European and white people, because the reality is the inversion. White people ended slavery and they want you to be slaves, so they're demonizing the people that ended slavery.
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. but most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexshowstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half a shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. For the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexshowstore.com and look at what is in it. And of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your Mind Fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Some societies, like Koreans, they might have a god complex, but they don't have a history of oppression, oppressing another group of people.
Each other, right?
Are you f***ing out of your mind?
Yeah, what the f***?
What do you mean?
You don't think Asians had they didn't oppress?
Koreans didn't have slaves. We didn't fly.
Did Koreans have slaves?
Korea had the longest unbroken chain of slavery of any society in history.
Scumbags. We're scumbags. You guys are scumbags. Like, isn't that funny? Like, it's particularly funny to me that it's like, who would think that? Right? To me, the funniest part is at the end, he goes, you guys are scumbags. It's like, what, for participating in a human institution that's been around as long as we've walked on 2 feet? But that's how these people feel. It's like, you dirtbag Europeans. It's like, what? We arrived latest to the slavery game. We're the victims of slavery for way longer than we ever held slaves. But even that, I mean, everybody in Europe was a serf, so it's just a different form of slavery. I mean, everybody in the world, more or less, was a slave to one degree or another until America. And we actually freed everybody, even in their own hearts and minds, to a crazy degree. I always talk about the Patrick O'Brien series, Master and Commander. There's one where they pick up an American sailor. And it's just hilarious because it's right after the American Revolution. All the British sailors are going, but who's your master? Like, who do you serve? And the guy's like, no one. And they're like, then who tells you what to do? And he's like, no, nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody controls me. Nobody can forbid me from going wherever the hell I want. I don't have to get permission from anybody to live or do whatever the hell I want. It's called freedom. And America was the first country since Rome, and even then, it's debatable, but like to codify this to allow everybody else was the subject of somebody. Everybody else had a king. And usually had a couple levels between you and the king of people who could kill you if they wanted, who had your life in their hands at any moment. America broke that, and the British ended slavery by force, sacrificing tens of thousands of their own men in order to end that despicable, hateful, heinous, and unimaginably damaging institution. And then we get blamed for it. And then people at UCLA think that Europeans invented slavery out of whole cloth. Everybody else was just hanging out singing Kumbaya before those gosh darn Europeans decided to invent evil, right? Whole thing is outrageous. Although I have to say, the UK, perhaps these days, doesn't have that same fervor for liberty that it once did back in the day. Remember those evil Europeans, those evil 17th century colonial British? You know, they were the ones that were going around spending their time, treasure, and very lives ending slavery for people who they never met and would never benefit from. And they were the bad guys that you're supposed to demonize and hate. They were all evil patriarchy lovers, right? Not the current UK leadership. They're the good guys. They're the loving people.
They're the liberals. They know better than those old colonial anti-slavery Navy men. But they don't love freedom quite so much. They're not out there sacrificing themselves for the liberty of others in a selfless and heroic way. They are, in fact, imprisoning their own people in a gigantic dystopian hell world prisonscape for which there is no escape even in your mind. It is truly wild what the UK is doing as they are speed running dystopia these days. Yeah, here you go. Some of the loving Koreans and their involuntary helpers, or however they would phrase it. But I got to talk about the UK. There's a lot of news in America, but I'm not about to spend another show just pointing out the obvious, okay? We're moving on. We're pointing out other obvious things from overseas. Basically, the UK is, in a very real way, speedrunning dystopia and frantically tearing down every pillar of liberty that exists in their country. And they're doing it in a way that is unconscionable and inexplicable, really, if you look at the current situation of that island. They aren't even really trying to justify what they're doing. They're just sort of doing it. And they're basically, the excuses that they are giving are of their own creation. They've really got the whole problem, reaction, solution thing down to a fine science. See, they bring in the Muslims that cause, do the rape gangs and the murders and then clog up the NHS. So they cause that problem. Then if you go out and protest it, they come and arrest you. They cause the outrage, then they arrest you for being outraged. Then they say, we're arresting so many people for being angry at the other thing that we did that now we don't have time to subject them to jury trials. We don't have time to apply due process and give them a chance to participate in the storied tradition, the millennia-long practice of common law in Britain to defend themselves in a trial. There's no time. There's too many people. The jails are too full. We better release the murderers because we've got to make room for the people who tweeted stuff about all of the rapists that we let into the country. I mean, they caused the problem. The solution is elimination of your rights. It is like perfect. Like there's no inefficiency to be found. They caused the outrage. Then they throw you in prison for being outraged. They throw so many people in prison for being outraged that they say our system can't handle this. We have to expedite it. No more jury trials. No defending yourself. You can now be thrown in prison for up to 3 years and never be able to fight the charges by judges that have now taken on the 12-man jury trial that's been a fixture of British jurisprudence for damn near a millennia. But they're going farther than that. They are, at this moment, dividing the ancient city of Oxford into six 15-minute cities, straight out of the World Economic Forum, merged with Gaza, basically. And of course, they're doing it in Oxford, which is one of those places where, you know, they'll show some cave drawing of a Native American, and it's like, this cave drawing was done in the 1100s. Like, it's just, like, so ancient. Like, see, they had civilization. Meanwhile, Oxford existed in the 1100s. Meanwhile, Oxford was basically the Hogwarts of its time. They were so unbelievably advanced, and now they're becoming an open-air prison. So let's watch this clip. 21, Oxford already started the conversion project several years ago, and it's now coming to fruition. Let's watch.
15 minutes of freedom here in the UK. So let me tell you the plan. The plan is in Oxford, and this has just been passed by the council, to divide the city here into, bit of a squiggly city, into six parts. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. and you will only have the freedom to operate in the part that you live. So if this is you, the idea is that everybody will live within 15 minutes of the things they need. 15 minutes of a school, 15 minutes of a doctor's, 15 minutes of a supermarket. And if you want to travel to the other zones in your city or maybe soon your town, you will have to go out an approved route. You will have to journey around the outside of the city in order to re-enter another section of the city. This plan is supposed to be saving the planet. And the idea is that you won't simply be able to cross over into other sections of your city anymore. So if your mother, for example, lived over here, you wouldn't be able to just go across and see her. This would all be done via e-gates, electronic gates and number plate recognition. You in your area will only be allowed within that 15-minute zone that you've been allocated. The number plate recognition will know if you leave your zone. And you can apply for permission, a permit, to leave your zone and travel to another zone. But you'll only be allowed to do this about 100 times a year. This is real. I just have to stop and say that. This has actually been passed by Oxford Council. This is happening in the next 2 years, 2024 it begins. And if you use up all your 100 passes that someone designates whether you're allowed to have to go into the different zones, you'll be fined. Your number plate will be recognised. It will observe that you've gone somewhere you're not allowed in your own city, and it will fine you £100 or £80 or whatever the fine number is.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally setting up like a dystopian technocratic control system. Labour opens door to Stalinist 15-minute cities across Britain. At the same time that they're imposing digital ID. At the same time as they're passing new hate speech laws in the Digital Services Act. At the same time that they're passing incredible surveillance laws where they're demanding the right to access your messages before you send them by de-encrypting your anything that you use to communicate with each other. At the same time that they're demanding, you know, ID to look at the internet, basically. At the same time that they're getting rid of jury trials. At the same time that they're flooding the country with tens of millions of hostile foreigners. At the same time that they're trying to start a war with Russia. Does any of this sound like a country that even is trying to continue existence in the next century? It is only going to get worse, I guess is the way to put it. And it's already unbelievably bad. Here's an example. Holly England was arrested shortly after posting this picture. I had the pleasure of meeting Holly last week. She's concerned about she's just a concerned mother who wants what's best for her community. So here's a picture of Holly being arrested. Here's the picture that she posted. It says, "This is why we do what we do, my babies," and it's two children wrapped in a Union Jack and a St. George flag, the flag of England, and it says, "Protect our children and their future." She was arrested for this image, folks. A woman in the UK has now been arrested posting a picture of children wrapped in a British flag with the subtitle "Protect Our Children and Their Future." So you're telling me that a simple expression of caring about your children is an arrestable offense in the UK? I guess if it combines with nationalistic impulses, which is crazy anyway, because it's literally the flag of their country. You may have read Holly England has been arrested, if you can bring that back up, if there's more information about this, by the Essex Police UK. After we finished in Crowborough, this is Emma PX, drove up to Epping to visit the Bell Hotel. Holly did pick up the microphone, said a few words, none of which I remember being inflammatory. She's a mother of four, and her youngest is a daughter aged about 5 to 6, who's absolutely adorable. She held my hand across the road. Well, she's wrapped in a British flag. I guess the mom gets arrested. Sorry, four-year-old. Sorry to traumatize you by taking your mother away in handcuffs, but, you know, she wants to protect you, so that's illegal, I guess. So let's go to some of these videos. Because they just mentioned Crowboro. Clip number 33 here is a report about what is being done. Now, they've already done this in Ireland quite a bit. They're doing it in the UK now. The UK basically flooded their country with so many migrants. They've filled all of the hotels. They've filled all of the like housing centers that they're building with millions of dollars or, you know, buying from their foreign owners in order to house migrants. But now they're doing what they were doing in Ireland, which is building or reconfiguring literal military barracks to house their soldiers in, and soldiers in the New World Order, the 500 to 600 male adult fighting age Africans and Middle Easterners are now being housed in a disused military barracks, despite absolutely everyone in the town being dead set against it. They're doing it anyway. Here's a report.
Here I am right outside Crowborough Barracks, where last night 27 single male migrants were moved in without the community's knowledge. Now, there are residents that are absolutely infuriated by this move. The Labour government intends to put over 500 people in these barracks behind here. Some people from the Conservative government said that they moved out 6,000 people from the military in order to make this clear for the illegal migrants. There's a lot of activity, a lot of vans going through, a lot of resources being put into this community now for some reason or other. The locals are furious.
The locals were furious, and they actually marched. That's what the video that we were just showing you was. Clip 34, well done to the lovely people of Crowborough, saying no to the implementation of this literal colony of foreign warriors in their land. Here they are marching with the St. George flag, the Union Jack, and others. Again, exactly what they did in Ireland. Now, it seems like the UK is actually being slightly less aggressive with the protesters. In Ireland, they would send out the Garda, the federal police, to abuse, hit with sticks, drive out of the way any protesters trying to block the importation, like block the vans bringing the invaders in. You have the national government, the native, you know, security of the land actively fighting their own people to bring in foreigners, to force foreigners into their community. And it's happening all over Europe to a massive degree. And now they're taking it that step farther in the UK. And the people in the UK are not happy about this. They're asking questions about it, questions that the authorities in the UK do not intend to answer, have no answers for, and refuse to acknowledge the implications of the fact that they have no answers for this. And it's clip 29 here, a very pertinent and important question that, again, the authorities don't want to answer. I think I just said because they don't have it. They actually do have an answer. They actually know exactly what the answer is. And it's actually the reason these men are being brought. You'll see what I mean. The question is about, well, you're bringing in 500 adult men. How are you going to deal with their sexual needs? Let's watch.
Two ladies at the back. Sir first.
Yeah. How do you plan to meet the sexual needs of 600 men?
Andrew, did you hear the question?
Yeah, I said I don't.
Okay.
I don't. And people laugh at it. That's not a silly question. It's a very, very, very pertinent question. It's a very, very important question. The answer to that question is your wives and daughters is the actual answer. That's how they end. And he's like, I didn't, I don't. Like, he's almost like, you know, offended at the idea that he would be expected. Well, you provided their food, you provided their housing. I mean, there's a hierarchy of needs, and sexual activity is, you know, can be pretty high up there. You're bringing 500 men, you didn't bring 500 women. So you expect those 500 men to find partners in the local community that doesn't want them there. and already has been. Thank you very much. And the disdain that the guy has. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to satisfy them. No, you're just volunteering the local community to be raped by them. That's the purpose of it. Of course, this is about diluting the gene pool of the UK, of all of Europe. It's an attack on white people to exterminate white people. Do we not understand this yet? Not to kill them, to breed them out of existence. That is the deliberate, obvious, readily apparent purpose of this agenda. Why else would you bring 500 foreign men into a population and then say, I don't know how they're going to get sexual satisfaction. I guess that's up to you. I mean, has there ever been anything in the history of the world that is as evil as the modern UK? Like Genghis Khan would take a bunch of captured prisoners and lay them down and then put boards on top of them and kill them by having a party on top. Like he'd build a dance floor on top of his prisoners to crush them to death while having a feast on top. I think he would shudder at what the UK is currently doing. I think you could take the most evil people from all of history, and none of them were engaged in the systematic, deliberate elimination of not just a person or a group of people, but a race of people, a history, a culture that's lasted for 2,000 years is being deliberately jackhammered. And a million British girls have been raped by these people who then covered it up and will send you to jail for speaking out against it or even referencing that you have children that you care about and don't want to see killed. I genuinely don't know if there's an example of history of a more cold-hearted and ruthless cabal of evil than that currently runs Europe overall. It is so unbelievably vicious. And again, they are supercharging this and weaponizing this in so many different ways. They are not only killing you and destroying you and bringing in your daughter's future rapist as they laugh at your concerns, they're going to make it illegal for you to be mad at that, to disagree with that, or to otherwise campaign against the deliberate destruction. Labour opens door to Stalinist 15-minute cities across Britain. Ministers have said they will allow councils to use driver's license databases to impose fines on drivers who fall foul of traffic filters, which restrict driving in certain areas. Jury trials scrapped for crimes with sentences of less than 3 years. AI and facial recognition to be rolled out as Britain's broken policing system faces sweeping reforms. And that's on top of the digital ID, and it's on top of the, you know, immigration system overall and the hate speech crap that they throw into the mix every couple of years. The UK is speedrunning dystopia. And if the people of the UK don't wake up in the next year or so, I think that's going to be it for y'all. I think that's really going to be it. And I think at the heart of everything the UK government is doing to its own people is a deep-seated, crushing fear of the average person that they have. They're trying to destroy you before you rise up. So you should rise up.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other
stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We'll be joined by Joel Webbin in the next segment. I do want to remind you that we have a new product that we just launched that I know people have been wanting. It's Mind Fuel. It's the berry flavor of Mind Fuel by Optimal Human. If you've tried Optimal Human, you know their products are the real deal. The green drink is one of my favorite products on the AlexJonesStore.com. Mind Fuel is the new nootropic energy shot. No caffeine, no sugar, just long-lasting energy, nootropic power. Comes in this box with a bunch of individual shots that, I don't know if people, enjoy these little anecdotes, but sometimes we get new products and everybody in the office just steals them. Everybody in the office just takes them. So we've had to have a big family meeting about don't drink the Mind Fuel shots. We all love them. We all want to drink all of them, but we have to have some available to advertise and to show and to take pictures of. So I've been told I'm not allowed to drink this. Which, okay, rather I should say they've requested that I don't, and so I'm complying with that, but I want one. They're very good, and we're not allowed to drink them. We have to buy them ourselves. And so you can buy them too, thealexjonesstore.com. But I'm telling you, folks, we don't sell things that we ourselves don't enjoy. We don't sell you things that don't work because we take everything that we sell. And all around the office, all around the studio, everybody's got their own little collection of supplements. I know I have mine. I just ran out of Power Plant. Need to re-up on that. And yeah, maybe a box of Mind Fuel will go missing. We don't know. We can't be everywhere all the time. But I'm telling you, folks, it's very good, and it's so good that we literally had to tell everybody, including me, please stop drinking the Mind Fuel energy shots. We're trying to sell them, not consume all of them. Okay? A lesson we could take from drug dealers, I guess. Don't get high on your own supply. But we can't help it because our products are actually amazing and we love them and we want you to love them. So we give you to them at we give them to you at a massive discount and with extra bonuses. Right now, if you get Mind Fuel, you get a free Atomic Defense bottle of supplements for absolutely free. So go to thealexjonesstore.com, get yourself some Mind Fuel, get a free bottle of Atomic Defense while you're at it. And also, there's massive discounts on tons of products like the t-shirts and hoodies are 25% off. Ultramethylene Blue capsules and tincture are 35% off, as well as the Shilajit gummies and capsules, the Ultra DNA Revival NAD+, the Power Plant, the Methyl Drive, and MK Ultra. All of those up to 35% off today. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, let's return to the dystopian state of not just the UK or Europe, but the entire Anglosphere, the European diaspora around the world is under concerted attack right now in a lot of different ways. In particular, Australia seems to be a playground for the New World Order, seems to be a testing ground for new and tyrannical measures of censorship and anti-gun laws and all sorts of things that would work fine if the government wasn't actively importing tens of thousands of hostile foreigners at the same time. And they've recently passed a new hate crime law that is setting new standards in terms of ridiculous, outrageous, easily misused anti-free speech laws. And the whole thing has been outrageous. The whole thing has been a saga of absurdity, but we're reaching new heights of this absurdity. Let's go to clip 35 here. This is a man at an Australia Day celebration, their equivalent of Independence Day, July 4th. It's called Australia Day. And a man went up and gave a speech about the new hate speech laws, which, of course, only apply to certain people and not others, certain acts of hate, not others, certain religious groups have carve-outs, while others don't. And, of course, I could show you videos. I can't show them to you because they're not bleeped right now, but I can show you videos of, you know, white Australians just being ruthlessly abused, both physically being stabbed at Australia Day for waving an Australian flag. I guess I can show you that one. We can just keep the audio down. But obviously the native European diaspora Anglo-Australians who founded and built and run the country are under constant attack, political attack, you know, lawfare types of attack, as well as just actually being attacked and just the psychological terrorism that they're constantly faced with. So a young man went up and gave a speech at Australia Day talking about the source and the, you know, initiative behind the new hate speech law that has essentially just criminalized white Australians defending themselves. So let's watch the speech at Australia Day. Here it is.
Go ahead, mate. I need to drag on for a few minutes. I'll say it quickly. The fact is that all these politicians that came up, you know what it means, they came up here, gave you a bunch of words, but none of them called out the fact that the hate speech laws were pushed by the Australian, the Jewish lobby groups in Australia. They were behind it all. They were behind it all. The Jews are the greatest enemy to this nation. They always have been. They're an enemy to Western civilization. And for thousands of years, Christians and Anglos, the white man has known that the Jew is our greatest enemy. Free Joel Davis, hail white Australia, and hail Thomas Sowell.
He said free Thomas Sowell and free Joel Davis. Absolutely, I totally agree with that. Joel Davis is an activist in Australia. He's been thrown in prison for a speech that he gave. Joel Davis is being denied any reading material He's not even being allowed a Bible. He's given no radio, no nothing. He's in solitary confinement and has been there for like months at this point and will be there indefinitely. And again, they aren't even giving him books, not allowing him phone calls, actually torturing this guy brutally. Meanwhile, the man who committed a mass murder and killed over a dozen people on Bondi Beach is being given access to religious material. He gets to go visit a, you know, prayer room with a cleric. He gets a Quran in his room. Now, the man who just gave that speech was immediately arrested. Man charged after allegedly making comments aligned with neo-Nazis at an Australia Day celebration. Aligned with neo-Nazis. Why? Because he said it was the Jewish lobby in Australia that got the hate speech passed. It absolutely, incontrovertibly was. That's not a debate. You're just not allowed to say it. They are. And I'll show you the clip of them bragging about it. But you can say it if you like it and you're in favor of it and you're congratulating and thanking the Jewish community for passing the hate speech law. It's good. It's fine that you acknowledge that they're the source of it. If you don't like that, now you're a neo-Nazi and you get arrested the minute you step off stage. And I believe we have a video of that. I think it's clip 23 here is that man minutes after giving the speech, being arrested. There he is. And have you ever seen a more appropriate image of the modern West, or rather modern Australia? Especially, I saw the original picture was just him and the officer on the left, who is significantly smaller and less physically intimidating than him. But of course, the Australian dutifully complies to the laws of the land and is shoved into a box for an indefinite period of time for daring to acknowledge the role the Jewish community played in passing the hate speech laws. Now, you can like the hate speech laws, dislike the hate speech laws. You can like the Jewish diaspora lobbying community or not. It is undeniable where the hate speech laws came from. It's not even like having to like connect dots. The Jewish organizations in Australia wrote the law, lobbied for the law, got their corporate partners to, you know, threaten boycotts to get the law passed for 6 months before the Bondi Beach massacre. Then a Muslim guy shoots up Bondi Beach, and what do you know? The anti-Semitism law passes, does absolutely nothing to do anything. Like, it does absolutely nothing to stop the Bondi Beach massacre or the people who carried it out or anything like that. It is entirely focused on shutting down people like that, people giving speeches saying, hey, guys, I'm a white Australian. This hate speech law that everybody's railing against, why is nobody telling you who wrote the law and got the law passed? The Jewish lobby. And then they arrest him for that. Why? Why do we allow this? Why are we so cowed by this phrase, anti-Semitism, that we can't say the truth, just say what everybody knows to be true? And if you think it's bad that the Jews are behind the censorship law, then you should be against it. Like, what are you talking about? If it's a good thing they passed it, then what's the problem with acknowledging that? This is so inconsistent and wild. And again, it may be different if there was some sort of connecting the dots, a couple degrees of separation. Well, the Jewish community wanted it and it passed. That doesn't mean that they're responsible for it. But this isn't speculation. Let's go to clip 8 now. This is head of the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, as well as the head of the J7, which is a consortium of representatives of the 7 largest Jewish diaspora communities. So you have, you know, big Jewish diaspora communities in America and Brazil and Australia, and they all have representatives, I guess, that appoint themselves or are appointed, who then use their influence in whatever realm of profession they operate in to push for world leaders to make changes to their constitution to benefit the Jewish people and to silence their critics. That's what they do. That's what they talk about doing. And here they are explaining to you the process that they went through to get this hate speech law passed. Let's watch.
Now, just last week, leaders of the world's 7 largest Jewish communities convened in Australia as part of the 2025 J7 summit. This is a summit organized by ADL, as part of the J7 task force to combat anti-Semitism, a convening of representative bodies of the largest Jewish communities on earth.
So the J7, as we said, is comprised of the seven largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices. We share what worked for our communities, what hasn't worked, what might work elsewhere. We have shared tips or draft legislation that might work in other countries or spoken of different litigation. A lot of what has been very important has been this consultation where we can learn from each other, learn the trends that are coming in, learn the techniques that others have used successfully, and what might be coming our way. Because what happened in Montreal could happen in Melbourne, and what happens in New York or London or Paris will make its way to Buenos Aires. That's number one. Number two, we do speak in one voice in certain aspects on key advocacy. So for example, when we left Australia, our call to action was on the Australian government to move forward the special envoy Gillian Siegel's plan on anti-Semitism, which has been stalled for a number of months, to accept it and to implement it. It was significant that the leaders of the seven largest diaspora communities went to Australia to show solidarity publicly with the community, with government leaders in the media, and also make this joint call to action. Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record with world leaders in which we share our community's concerns and call for action. So it's both a really important body for consultation and learning from each other, as well as an effective tool when we can come together and speak in one voice.
Okay, so is she going to be arrested? I mean, she's the one doing it. So what she just described in layman's terms is a international Jewish conspiracy to use their international power to pressure sovereign national governments to silence their critics. Okay, I mean, that is what she said. So are you not allowed, you're not allowed to say that, though? She just said it. You're not allowed to be against it. You're not allowed to say it in a way that sounds like you're angry. You have to say it in a positive way. If he'd given that same speech and said, thank you to the Jewish community and the lobbyists for passing this lovely and necessary hate speech law, maybe that wouldn't have been against the law. But because he was not happy when he said it, it is. The point is that these laws are entirely arbitrary. They don't actually mean, they're just a legal framework excuse to silence critics of the power structure. It is beyond simple to understand. And it, of course, it's not just Australia. It's happening in every country. And there is this concerted effort. Benjamin Netanyahu calls it the Eighth Front War. I'm working on a very sizable report about this right now, but we've seen some updates to it because we've been hearing for a while. And let me just put a cap on it. Just to remind you, that woman was not talking in the past tense about a Bondi massacre. All of that happened last summer, months before the Bondi massacre ever occurred. So you had this massive international Jewish cabal that was working with the anti-Semitism czar, whatever their equivalent is, in Australia to write laws censoring Australians from criticizing the country of Israel, their practices, or anything. And then for 6 months, they fight for this, try to get it passed. They don't get it passed because it is an obvious and flagrant violation of the fundamental beliefs about free speech that Australians still hold as a holdover from their Anglo history. And not until the massacre at Bondi Beach did they finally get the political will to pass all of this through, even though it didn't address anything about Bondi Beach. Provided the traumatic events to, you know, suppress all of the concerns about free speech and say, we just need to get this done now. Oh my God, you don't want another bunch of people to die, do you? The bill doesn't stop anybody from dying, obviously. And of course, they have carve-outs for specifically Jewish institutions in Australia that they get to have guns and get more guns, but everybody else in Australia has to turn their guns in. Totally insane. Okay, just getting that across the board. So Benjamin Netanyahu has this Eighth Front War, and it's actually more in-depth than you think. The Eighth Front War, they claim, is the information war. They claim is the, you know, war over social media. In a way, that's true. But at the same time, Benjamin Netanyahu is making statements about America being the new Rome and Jerusalem losing against Rome last time, but they have to win the next one. Okay, so you can put those two dots together, right? The Eighth Front War is not just a war in cyberspace. It's not just a war of disinformation. It's a war against America. It's a war against America because Benjamin Netanyahu has made multiple speeches in the recent past where he enunciates his ambition for Israel to move from a secondary power on the world stage to a primary power on the world stage. So again, using Benjamin Netanyahu's own words, it's pretty easy to understand that Israel is waging an Eighth Front War, a war of information against America in an attempt to both destroy America and upgrade the position of Israel to assume the position that America serves now as hegemon of the world. Okay, so this is what they're doing. This is their plans. And for a couple years at this point, we've heard over and over and over that the most important victory to be achieved is against TikTok. Not because TikTok is something unique and special, other than that it wasn't already built with embedded anti-Semitism algorithms inside, right? So again, it's not that TikTok was over and above the popularity of anything else, and it was just that much more important, but otherwise, like the other outlets, like the other platforms, no. Meta has a, you know, censor specifically. She is the minister for Jewish diaspora at the Meta company, and she is in charge of their censorship activity, and she goes out of her way to, you know, do things like define Zionist as anti-Semitic, so that even if you're just protesting or speaking out against the actions of the Israeli government in a secular geopolitical framework, you still will be censored because they'll extrapolate that to mean that you hate the Jews and therefore you can't criticize the actions of a foreign state. Meta already had that built in. Elon has been very lenient and conciliatory towards the ADL and allowing them to change the algorithm to suppress posts criticizing Israel. That was revealed recently with you asked Grok to give your account a score and how the algorithm treats you. And it was revealed that embedded in the algorithm of X is a score as to whether you are pro-Zionist or anti-Zionist, and being pro-Zionist crushes your reach. Okay, so they're not really worried about X. They're not really worried about Meta and Facebook because they already have them captured and censors, you know, there to silence criticism. But TikTok was an outlier. And China didn't want to sell them TikTok, and China isn't interested in playing their games. And so they used the American government, came up with these claims about the Chinese government stealing data or whatever, you know, whatever excuse they needed to throw at the wall, just like to get rid of the Harvard president. They came up with something about plagiarism. No, it was about the fact she allowed anti-Zionists to protest. You know, the Colombia president just got replaced because he wasn't sufficiently philo-Semitic. So he was kicked out. And the person that replaced him is a diehard Zionist. And, you know, her dad is like a famous lifelong, you search her dad's name and it's like 15 different books about Israel. And it's like his number one thing is like he was suing Hamas and all this stuff. Anyway, so they got, you know, this is just what's happening. All right. I'm be against it, be for it. You can't call me a liar. This is absolutely what's happening. It's being done in a coordinated, organized, orchestrated fashion. And it's being done by weaponizing things like the American government's incredible power on the world stage. The incredible sway that we have and leverage that we are able to wield against a opponent like China. Now, instead of using that power and using that leverage to our own benefit, it's hijacked by Israelis and used to their benefit. So TikTok is basically forced out of the hands of the Chinese because the Jewish lobby in America convinced Congress to write a law that said they had to do that. And then who bought it but Larry Ellison? Or his, you know, consortium helped to put it in place. Now there's a new CEO who likewise It's following exactly the same trend as the Jewish diaspora chief at Meta and conflating all anti-Zionist sentiment with anti-Semitic sentiment and banning it across the board to the degree that you can't say factual things about Jeffrey Epstein or the Gaza war. And at this point, it's being discovered you can't even send the name Epstein in a private message. And this is being reported on by NPR. TikTok is investigating why some users can't write Epstein in messages. You're investigating that, are you? Interesting. Yeah, I'll go investigate the tweet I put out yesterday. You wrote it, dummies. What do you mean you're investigating? It's the censorship protocol you put into place deliberately. But they're investigating it. Officials at TikTok say they're looking into why many users have been unable to send the word Epstein in direct messages, an issue that garnered widespread attention on social media Monday and prompted California Governor Gavin Newsom to announce an inquiry into the matter. Quote, we don't have rules against sharing the name Epstein in direct messages and are investigating why some users are experiencing issues, a spokesperson for TikTok's U.S. operation told NPR in a statement. This comes just days after TikTok finalized a sale that gave a consortium of mostly American investors control of TikTok's business in the U.S. a deal that averted a nationwide ban of the app over national security concerns tied to its Chinese parent company. Among the lead investors is tech firm Oracle, which is run by billionaire Larry Ellison, who is the number one most generous contributor to the IDF. And of course, you know, part of getting this TikTok deal, America had to make certain sacrifices like allowing China to send 600,000 students into this country. That was all part of the economic deal, of which the purchase of TikTok was just a part. So yeah, TikTok is now censoring at the behest of the U.S. government. The app is still functionally banned. Yeah, it's not the U.S. government. But we are going to get blamed. And Trump is playing the role. And they are doing it through the American government, using our, you know, authority as the leverage to get what they want. But they already were insinuating themselves into TikTok, and already had been revealed that factual information from like official sources about Epstein were still being censored, because that's what it's always about. Just like how the UK put in, you know, age controls for the internet, because they're like, we don't want kids finding sites that tell them to commit suicide. And then the first thing they start censoring is reports about a migrant raping or killing a girl. I can't remember which one it was, but it's every single time they put in a censorship protocol on the basis of anti-Semitic hate. And then they just ban you from talking about Epstein, or for, you know, protecting children from suicide. And then they ban you from talking about, you know, your daughter being stabbed by a Muslim. Over and over, folks.
I'm here to announce a new, extremely exciting product at thealexjonesstore.com, and that's MindFuel. Brought to you by the same folks that developed Optimal Human. This is an Optimal Human product. We set out with our sponsor, Bigley, to come out with a clean, nootropic energy shot that doesn't have any letdown, but gives you clean energy. This stuff is so strong, though, I take half a shot in the morning. It's a big shot. And another half in the afternoon if I need to work late. But again, you can still sleep on it because it's not a traditional stimulant. So if you loved Optimal Human, the strongest, best, super nutrient-packed green drink out there, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And when I go through these ingredients, go research these for yourself, and then know, when you find out how great they are, that we have the very best and the very strongest in this product, Mind Fuel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, benefit, no crash, no blood sugar spike. Advantage can be used daily without guilt and is good for your whole body, not just your brain. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy. Advantage, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. Nootropic Alpha GPC, Citricoline, DMAE, GABA. Benefit supports mental clarity and focus. Advantage competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot. And the best part is, it's an adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend. Balanced, grounded energy. Advantage appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. And then it's got high-quality electrolytes and a spectrum of high-quality B.
If you love our other products, thealexjonesstore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And if you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue or our Shilajit or Irish sea moss or our bovine colostrum, you're crazy. These are all incredible products. Get your Mind Fuel now at thealexjonesstore.com and help keep us on the air while empowering your life.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.